pick it up and start to read, you really don't get what you could get. You really don't accomplish what you could accomplish if you have prepared your heart. And so then I wanted to kind of get into what it took to be prepared, you know, what it is that makes your heart prepared to seek the Lord. So in Rehoboam's case, everybody knows the story pretty much about Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And when Rehoboam took power, Jeroboam had been out in exile, basically. And he came back and he talked to Rehoboam and said, look, you know, we want to be part of this household of Israel. We want to be part of everything now again. And if you'll take us back in and treat us right, because they weren't being treated right. It's the reason they were gone to begin with. And so Rehoboam, he sought counsel with the old men, and the old men gave him good counsel. I mean, they told him what was right and how he should do things. But they told him, if you'll be a servant to this people. And that's what most people will never want to hear. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to be a servant. Nobody wants to be a servant. Everybody wants to be on horseback, you know, riding above the servant. But nobody wants to be a servant. And he told, the old men told him, if you'll serve this people, then they'll in turn, they'll serve you, and they'll serve you forever. They'll never leave. They'll be the best thing you ever had if you'll just take care of them. And he didn't like that idea. He forsook the counsel of the old men, and he wanted to talk to the young folks. And there's where you generally run into problems. Folks, our fathers were not dumber than us. I mean, you stop and consider the idea that our elders are not dumber than we are. If you want to get some people that have some knowledge, get to talk to somebody old. I mean, they've been through it. Whatever you've had to deal with in life, they've dealt with it too. They understand the heartaches and the troubles and the pains and all the things that we face every day. And so this guy decided he's going to go against the elders and take the young folks' idea. Well, the young folks, they're all bold and cocky and they want to fight, you know. And they're like, no, you beat them down. You tell them that your daddy's tiny little pinky finger wasn't going to be as heavy, you know, as your leg. I said that wrong, but that's what he wanted. He wanted to push them down harder. We want to make you serve more. We're going to be meaner to you than anybody's ever been, and you're going to like it. Well, it didn't work. And he divided Israel. So forever, in the Word of God, forever, Rehoboam is going to be known as the one who divided Israel. He separated the tribes. Why? Because he didn't have his heart prepared. He had his heart prepared by the young folks to fight. His heart needed to be prepared to be a servant. So in us, we ought to try to have our hearts prepared to be a servant. You know, that's a really good lesson to take away from that, you know, because he didn't, and look what happened to him. He messed up everything. Now, he started out right. I mean, he started out right. He wanted to do right when he first started. He brought some things together that, you know, nobody else had done. He took care of the people. He put food in places that he, you know, was supposed to do. But then he turned around and messed everything up because he could not be a servant to his people. And that's what we ought to be. Each one of us ought to be a servant to the people, to our church, to our to the family of God, basically. So we can take a good example from him, you know, that we ought to have our heart prepared. Now, this is what happened to him when he didn't. Now, in Ezra's case, man, I tell you what, Ezra did some stuff. And you stop and listen, look over in Ezra chapter 7, and look what happened with Ezra. Now, I read verses 9 and 10. But let's look at what happened here. Ezra went to the king who was in charge of the world at that time to him and could easily have just chopped his head off, told him to get out of his face. You know, that was easy for him. But this is what it says. Now, this is the copy. This is verse 11 in chapter 7. Now, this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. So he didn't just give him permission to go. He gave everybody that wanted to go with him permission to go. And we'll see why in a minute. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand. See, everybody knew about Ezra. You know, everybody knew, well, Nehemiah, for example, too. Ezra and Nehemiah, they went together to build back Jerusalem. And Nehemiah put his life in his hands, you know, when he was in there. And the king said, why is your countenance bad? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. It's a heart thing we're talking about this morning, right? So Nehemiah had sorrow of heart in front of the king. Well, you didn't do that in front of those old kings like that. You didn't go in their presence sad. They weren't going to have somebody pouting around in front of them. They'd chop your head off. So he went in there and told the king what was going on. He said, why shouldn't I be sad? You know? And then when the king asked him, I like what it said when the king asked him, well, for what dost thou make request? He said, so I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king. So he didn't have time to get down on his knees and hide behind something and pray and all that. He had to say, God help me. I mean, I think that's all he had to say at that point in time. God help me. God help me. Then he said to the king, you know, he wanted to go back to Israel. So the king allowed him to go. But here, Artaxerxes gave him authority to take everybody else with him too. Anybody you need, you take them with you. Not just the people though. Listen to what else he said. He said, and carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. Listen, because he had his heart prepared. Now listen, it says so right here. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. See, that's another big key for us, and to do it. It's not enough just to want to know what God's book says. It's and to do it. But what happened with him was he got the king, a lost king. This king was nothing to Jerusalem. He was not a Jew. He had nothing to do with the house of Israel, but he got this king to give the biggest offer anybody ever gave. I mean, you think about that. Do you know the world belongs to us? I mean, our Father owns this world, right? The Bible says he has freely given to us all things to enjoy, to richly enjoy. So this stuff that the king had, it didn't belong to him anyway. It was God's. It was all God's stuff. So God had promoted him to give it to him, told him to give him what he needed. He said that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, their meat offerings, their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. Now he knew that. That's a good idea that he knew where it was at. He said, and whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. So he gave him all the silver and all this gold and all the freedom to do everything he wanted to do with it. And he gave him that liberty. We're talking about a slave right here. A captive. Someone captive in another country. And this is what God gave him. Why? Because he prepared his heart to seek the law of his God and to do it. That's what the book says. So we got to go. You got one guy here who's ruined the whole country. Basically, a lot of what he did caused the captivity that they went into. And then here's Ezra, on the other hand, prepared his heart to seek the Lord, to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it. And now he's getting all this stuff handed to him, and everything's going his way. And not only the gold, but listen else, what else? And whatsoever, the vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. He gave him a blank check. Whatever you need, it don't matter what it is, you take whatever you need. Here's the letter. I got a letter with the king's seal on it. I got anything in this place I want. I'll take everything here if I want it. That's the attitude. I mean, he could have had that attitude. He probably didn't have that attitude because he was a servant. But that's what could have happened. So with these two guys here in the situations that they were in, with the stark contrast between one who had his heart prepared and one who didn't have his heart prepared, I thought, okay, this is where I started from. I mean, the Bible talks about a hard heart, a willing heart, an obstinate or unmovable and unchangeable heart, A joyful heart, a merry heart, a darkened heart, a pure heart, an evil heart of unbelief, sorrowful heart. The heart is mentioned in the Bible 830 times in 762 verses. So it's a matter of the heart, isn't it? I mean, basically, it's a heart issue. So I figured from this point right here, I guess basically the first thing to do is to find out what God says about our heart. If you're going to have your heart prepared, you need to know what God thinks about your heart. So Genesis 6:5 is a good place to start, right in the very beginning, right where God just about to destroy the world with a flood. It says in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's sad. That's a sad testimony. That's what caused God to destroy the world with water. Now, thankfully, that'll never happen again. God gave us a rainbow to prove that, and that did not supposed to be a rainbow flag like they got flying out here now. That's a promise, folks. That's a promise from God. It's been robbed and stolen from us that makes us almost afraid to use it anymore because it looks like something stupid to us. Now, it's an abomination to God, and we know that. But God gave us a promise. He would never destroy the world again because of the heart of man. That's what our problem is. But see, we still got the same problem. We've still got the same problem. It's hard to make somebody understand. It's hard to say to somebody, your heart is wicked and evil continually. But it really is. It really is. Apart from the Spirit of God, what is your heart good for? What is it fit for? You hear people all the time say, oh, follow your heart. Your heart will tell you the tale. No, your heart will send you in the wrong direction every stinking time. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 17:9, he said this. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then the answer came back from the Lord. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Well, that's scary. I do not want God to give me a reward according to the fruit of my ways. Believe me, folks, you don't either. I don't want to be rewarded according to my ways or the fruit of my doings. I want to be rewarded according to Jesus Christ and the mercy of God. And that's what we have the opportunity to do. See, that's where we can win. That's where we can do better than our own heart. Because we can trust in God's heart. That's the key for us. Now look at Matthew 15. And I don't have this marked, so I'll have to turn to it with you. Let's look at what the Lord says about it. Jesus said this in verse 16. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever to enter it in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. See, that's where we're defiled, is in our heart, right? He said this. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So out of our heart, don't we sure blame the devil for way more than he's got credit for, really? What did you say about comes out of our heart? Out of the heart of man. Blasphemies, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness. Those things come out of our hearts. Now, those things can be subdued. Those things can be kept down. Paul said, I keep my body under. Okay? We can choose And folks, I said it Sunday night, and I'm going to say this till the day I die. This is my new favorite slogan. You make your own choices. We choose every day. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You will make a choice. You made a choice to come here today. Thank God you did that. You will make a choice while you're here what you're going to put into this service. And you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And I know everybody here has heard that before. You will get out of this service whatever you put into it. As much as you want to receive from God, you will receive from God. He wants more to fellowship with you than you do with him. And so if you come in here, despite the man standing here, you can hear from God. Okay? Please don't think that I think I'm anything, because I know that I'm not. But if you came in here this morning to hear from God, then you will. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst, right? So there's way more than two or three here. Are we all gathered in his name? Have we prepared our hearts to seek the Lord our God when we came in here this morning? I'm going to tell you something, and you all know this is true. If you've been married for any length of time, I don't know how many times I've come to church with and had a service completely ruined because of an argument between Broadway and Temple Baptist Church. And you come in here and you've been fighting mad when you get here. Your wife said something dumb, or you said something dumb, and you and her got into it, and it's been, you ain't getting nothing out of nothing. You might as well turn around and went home, because the service is no longer valid for you. Why? Because your heart was completely somewhere else. Completely somewhere else. And that's how our heart is. This is what he sees. Now in Mark 7, you get almost exactly the same thing out of Matthew 15 and Mark 7. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness. That's one he added in there. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. I get so caught up with that foolishness part. I'll be honest with you. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. One of mine, if most people that know me, they know I'm a fool. I act so foolish sometimes. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. But you know, even that can be, you can do that in excess. I mean, even that can be done to excess. So that's why, I think that's why it's in here.
Acting a fool all the time.
I know a guy you can't have a civilized, normal conversation with. He is constantly cutting up about something. You could tell him, hey, my mother died last week. Well, you know, did she bounce when she hit the ground? It'd be something goofy out of him every time you heard. I mean, this guy can't have a civil conversation. And I don't know, it gets irritating to me. And I get to think about that sometimes. Like, well, maybe I'm getting irritating to other people too. Because sometimes I get overboard in that foolishness. But you know what? All these things are in our hearts. So, again, the issue is the heart. You know, when you lie, you do so because you are a liar. See, when you steal, you do so because you are a thief. That's because that's what you are in your heart. You're not a thief because you steal. You steal because you're a thief. I know that kind of messes us up a little bit to think that way sometimes. But there's some truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. You know, he said 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, and 11. Listen to this. He said, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. It's almost the same list from Mark 7 here. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love the next verse better than anything in life. And such were some of you. Everybody in here can find ourselves somewhere in that list. Somewhere. Now, I hate to say that, but somewhere in that list, you're here. You're there in that list somewhere. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That's great news, folks. All these things the Bible says about our heart can be changed by the Spirit of God. You can be washed, you can be justified, sanctified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. That's perfect. That, you know, that is the very first way that you can start to prepare your heart. See, you can't serve God when you're not saved. If you look at what the Bible says about this stuff, it's pretty clear. Jesus Christ talked to a bunch of people one day that said, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in thy name and do many great works in thy name?" And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So trying to serve God lost is hopeless. It's pointless. And most lost people don't. In all honesty, most lost people live like lost people. I mean, they don't go to church. They don't talk about the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They don't care about Sunday school. Most lost people just don't. But there are some who have an illusion as to what salvation really is, and they think everybody's saved. Everybody's going to go to heaven one day. Man, that's scary to me. I know people like that. I have friends like that. They think, well, you know, it's all going to come out in the wash one day and everything will be just fine. And No, it ain't. Listen, Romans 10. Everybody knows Romans 10. Turn to it. It's good for you to read these things. It's good for you to turn to it in your Bible. I haven't turned to it either. I'm going to have to turn to it myself. So if you're going to have your heart prepared to seek the Lord, the first thing about that heart is it needs to be saved. It needs to be born again. So what he said in Romans chapter 10, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." It's got to be preached, right? "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And then my favorite verse in the Bible just about, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. All right, so that's pretty clear. When we know the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The devil believes that, right? He knows it's true. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. So there has to be a little bit more to it than just believing that that happened. So according to this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You're not going to call on somebody you never heard of. You're not going to call on somebody you don't believe in. So once you've believed, then you receive him. He must be received. Once he's received, you have salvation. You are born again of the Spirit. That's what that is. So when you receive Jesus Christ, that's the very first thing that starts you on a path to having your heart prepared to seek the Lord. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it can't be done, it can't be worked, it can't be earned, there's nothing you can do for it. You just receive salvation through Jesus Christ because it's a free gift. Romans tells you over and over and over and over, it's a free gift. In Romans 6, 17, he said, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So such were some of ye, but now you're washed." See, that's what Paul's talking about when he said that. Now you're sanctified. Now you're clean. Jesus Christ said, "Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." So we get ourselves right with God by being born again, by being saved. If you want, I mean, I like saved. I really do. I like that song, saved, you know, saved to the uttermost. There's a lot of good songs about being saved. You know why? Because somebody that's got their heart redeemed got something in there to sing about. I mean, listen, my voice comes out of me horrible. I don't sound as good as Caleb does for any means. But I can sing because God put a song in me. He gave me something to sing about. And again, I've said this, this is absolutely unrelated, but I've said this a thousand times. The sign they used to have out there in Halls, at one of the Baptist churches out there in Halls, it said, if you've been born again, inform your face. I mean, we ought to smile. We ought to have something to be happy about, joyful about, right? I mean, who else could be happier than us? You know? And I know happy means something that happened. You know, it's because of something that happened. Joyful is the word we ought to have. We ought to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Peter said. So, first of all, you've got to be saved. Second of all, I think we have to allow Jesus Christ first place. Folks, he's not going to settle for second. He's never going to be backseat. He's never going to be your co-pilot. If God is your co-pilot, you are in the wrong seat. Amen. Get out and let him drive. Amen. So he's never going to take second place. We have to allow him. He said this in Matthew 10, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. That's pretty clear to me. I don't think that has to be expounded on very, you know. He's clear what he said. In Luke 14, he said, they gave the parable of the great supper, and everybody had their excuses. You know, one bought land, bought some oxen, somebody else got married, they married a wife. That I've never ever understood, but I won't get into that. Then he said, if any man come to him and hate not his father and mother, or son or daughter, wife, or his own life also, he could not be his disciple. That's straight up. You can't get around that. He will not take second place. So once you're born again, it ain't like you put him there, okay? I hear that said, and that irritates me so bad. You will not put him in first place. Just yield and allow him to be first place. See, that's who he is anyway. He is first place. He's not somebody that you can, you know, you can't barter with him. You have to just allow him to be first. That's because that's what he is. So once you do that, then you can get started down a good path. That's what Ezra was doing. He was on the right path. He headed in the right direction. You know, a lot of our problem is we get in the wrong direction so often, and we're not going in the right way. Once we start down the right path, we get a lot better off. So once we're here now, we're headed down the right path. We've got ourselves born again. We've got Jesus Christ in the driver's seat. You know, he's first place. So now life catches up. Right? I mean, day-to-day life. I'm going to tell you the truth. This morning, coming down Broadway, I stopped and let somebody out. I was running a little bit later than I wanted to be, but I'm not going to get that in my head. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to be getting there on time. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to let this guy out. I let this car out, and it went 21 miles an hour the rest of the way up the road in front of me. Life takes place, don't it? I mean, isn't that right? We are still living in a fleshly body. Do we not still get problems coming up day to day? You know, things happen to us all the time. And I'll be honest, for about 8 seconds, I got all fleshly about that car. Well, you stupid, what are you doing? Yeah, it was my fault. I let him out. I did it. See, you make your own choices. So I got over it pretty quick and I went on, you know. But here's the thing. Those things take place. that's not the least. I mean, that's probably the least of everything that takes place in a week before we get here. I mean, how many have had a fight with somebody this week, or got into it with somebody at work, or you, I'll give you a good one, stumble and fall across a parking lot at work, and, you know, I'm 63 years old. I ain't got no business hitting the ground real hard anymore. It don't, you know, but it seems like the older I get, the less agile I am, and I'm beat up all the time. These things happen to us. So 1 John 1:9, thank God, is still in the Bible. See, there's where this is, to me, probably the greatest thing we need in our churches more than anything else is to understand that 1 John 1:9 was written to a Christian. Listen, when we come in here on Sunday mornings and the world all over us all week long and everything that's happened all week long, all the troubles, all the headaches, all the pounding the pavement, everything that we have to do, we ought to first, before anything else, get our sins straightened out with the Lord before we ever come through the doors. Then we're getting our heart prepared. We're working in the right direction to have the kind of service the Lord wants us to have. I mean, I can tell you it's happened to me over and over and over, and I know I'm not by myself. I mean, I may be the worst of all the folks in here, but I'm not the only one that's come in here and had a horrible attitude sitting through a service. It happens. So get our sins confessed. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When you come in here with all your sins under the blood and forgiven, and you come in here cleansed with your mind in the right way and your heart in the right way, folks, there is nothing God can't do in us in the service here. Absolutely nothing He couldn't do here. I mean, we could see folks saved. We could see folks healed. We could see, oh my gosh, that Baptist just said somebody could be healed. God ain't dead. He has yet to lose any power. There is absolutely no loss of power with God. He said that, look at Isaiah 59. I mean, I don't know if I even got that marked. I don't think I do. I'll have to turn to it with you again. That's in the Old Testament. Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Take that in a minute. And right here when he said the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, he's not talking about salvation the way we think of salvation. He's talking about saving you from problems. He's talking about saving your life. That the Lord's hand can reach down and pull you out of a terrible situation. That's what he's talking about right there. So his hand is not short. He's not lost any power. Neither is ear heavy. He's listening. You know, the Bible says that His heart is toward us. Think about that. His heart is toward us. So He can hear us. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Not that He can't, but that He won't. He won't. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that's changed in the New Testament at all. I think the reason 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible is so we can get our things fixed up and still be able to speak and communicate with God. God cannot behold sin. He can't have anything to do with it. He turned His back on His only begotten Son when He became sin for us. He couldn't have anything to do with Him. There had to be that separation between the two. So it just, I mean, to me, it seems like it makes common sense, you know, that he's not going to have anything to do with us if we're full of it. If we're eat up with sin and we come in here. You know, we are one of another. We're connected. We're one body in the Lord. One body in the Lord. So if we come in here with sin, eaten up with it, we come in here infected. The body's sick now and can't receive what it should. If we would get ourselves in the right spot when we come in here, before we ever open the door, before you ever walk through that back door, get right. Get our sins confessed up. Get our hearts focused on the Lord. We could see things happen here. I mean, we could really see things happen here. Now, I said this a minute ago about yielding to the Spirit. We need to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Now, in Romans 6, go ahead and turn there. It ain't going to hurt you to turn to it in your Bible. It's better if you read it than if I read it to you. Look at verse 12, 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, sin has no power over you if you are under grace. Under the law, sin has power over you. But under grace, we have the power over sin. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God dwells within us. Because he lives in us, he has power over sin. We have power over sin. How do we do that? Yield ye yourselves unto him. See? It's a yield. Y'all heard me talking about letting that guy out a while ago. You know what yield means? It's when you come to a place and you yield the right of way to this one. That means they go first. So if you yield yourselves under the power of God, under the Spirit of God, he goes first. And then he takes care of the problems. He hits that stuff head on. He stops it before it starts. That's how we yield to him. He said, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now, I've said this before, and you've heard me say this a bunch, and I'm sure you have, but you never, ever heard a Baptist preacher tell you that you can just live however you want to live now you're saved. You never heard that out of this church. You never heard that out of any Baptist church worth its salt. So we have to yield to the Spirit of God. Now, I'm running out of time. Bad. Oh, yeah, real bad. I knew I would. I always wear my watch when I do Sunday school, and I forgot it this morning, too. So I'm going to cut off right there, yield to the Spirit. We have to yield to the power of God, yield to the Spirit of God. If you're yielded to the Spirit, he will guide and he'll lead. See, because when he goes first, when you yield and he goes first and he's leading, you can't go wrong following the Spirit of God. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, the Spirit led me to do this and the Spirit led me to do that. Not if you didn't confirm it in the book. You know, you can, hey, listen, I've heard people say the Spirit led me to leave my wife and marry this. No, that didn't happen. You ain't going to find that in the Bible. You know, you can hear people say all kinds of crazy stuff about the Spirit led me, the Spirit this. That's the wrong Spirit. You better pay attention to what Spirit you're listening to. That's the key. That's a real big key. Get the world out of your heart. I'm going to get real fast here. He said, in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We get rid of that stuff. We can get our hearts right with one another. Folks, that's a big thing. That is a big thing. You ought to be able to come in here every Sunday and go from that side of the church to this side and hug anybody's neck in this building post-COVID. I mean, seriously, there ought to not be any conflict in here. You know, if I've got something against Brother Ronnie Crane, I'm going to go to Ronnie Crane. And we're going to work that thing out, because I don't want that conflict to hinder what could happen in this church. And it can. It can. We, you know what he said? I'm going to say this real quick. Jesus said this in Mark 11. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Listen, he told him, don't even bring your offering up here without going back first and making things right with your brother, and then bring your offering and God will receive it from you. So it's so important that we be right with one another as well as right with God. And all these things are matters of the heart, every one of them. And once we've done all these things, we got our heart right to seek the Lord. And then the best verse in this whole thing is Jeremiah 20:13. He said, and you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now you got your heart right, see? When you can search for him with all your heart, nothing hindering. You know, we sing that song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Man, that's a good song. If you could come in here every Sunday with your heart right with God, your heart right with others, ready to seek the Lord, what do you think God could do here? I mean, what could he not do here? That's an even bigger question. Well, I didn't cover everything I wanted to, but I covered the high spots, I guess you would say. So let's close in prayer, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes, I think. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for the place that we had to come, and the good Bible that you've given us, Lord. You've given us a perfect Word of God. I ask you, Lord, that Jesus Christ be exalted in this place today, that each and every one of us would prepare our hearts for what you're about to speak to us today in the service. Help us, Father, to obey you in everything you say, and that we might be able to be called your children. And we'll thank you for everything that's done, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.